شهر الطاعة والإيمان، شهر الرحمة والغفران، شهر الطاعة والإيمان، شهر الرحمة والغفران.
أيامك خير الأيام
يا رمضان،
يا شهر صيام وقيام
يا رمضان.
أيامك خير الأيام
يا رمضان،
يا شهر صيام وقيام
يا رمضان.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the first session, we discussed through a number of traditions from Ahlul Bayt and a couple of verses from the Holy Quran, broadly illustrating that there are degrees to fasting. And this can also be extrapolated in rational terms, that the phenomenon of fasting isn't all similar to one another. I mean, there are different degrees to fasting, and they vary in their superiority, in their excellence, in their virtue. It shouldn't all be viewed as one phenomenon. Now, here, the important aspect and the important implication to understanding the different, to why there are different degrees, we said because the more you lack in acquiring the perfections entailed in fasting, the more you lack in this regard, the more you're compromising your soul. And that although you're a Muslim, as a result of compromising the ritual of fasting in its more superior forms, you may be compromising your Muslim identity. By identity here, I mean that identity pertaining to the soul. And therefore, you may partially be Jew, Christian, Zoroastrian, or Hindu, or other adherents of other beliefs, partially though. But you will be resurrected as them in the hereafter, and that is a result of your lack in a given ritual, such as fasting. And then one of the implications of that was that if you are predominantly a Jew or Christian or Zoroastrian, then even you're a Muslim, even though you're a Muslim by name, when it comes to receiving inheritance from your Muslim parents, then that will be of no blessing, that money received, in whatever area you spend it in. Also from the other side, a Muslim parent, if they want to leave righteous legacies, the best righteous legacy is, according to traditions, a righteous son or daughter. And that means a son or daughter who is predominantly Muslim by soul, in addition to by name. But if that's not the case, and they are predominantly in the realm of the soul, an adherent of another belief system, which is an aberration, be it in rituals or in aqa'id, then that parent will be acting irresponsibly in leaving too much. That won't be seen as a righteous legacy, and it can be the cause of one's spiritual detriment in the hereafter. So that much we discussed in the first session. Now, in this session, I want to go through the writings of earlier scholars, and today, inshallah, we'll go through Allama Majlisi's writings. In Bihar al-Anwar, chapter 97, page number 46 onwards, after going through a number of ahadith, which in those ahadith, the different scales and degrees and levels of fasters, those who fast, are portrayed, here Allama Majlisi gives an account. He wants to give a summary of all the different types of fasters that exist. And he wants to show that there are different degrees to fasting. Make sure you don't compromise with your fasting in the holy month. Make sure you don't become one of group levels 1 or 2 or 3. We'll go through them. He goes through different groups. He says, make sure you pertain to the proper groups, which who don't lack, who don't compromise with their fasting. And then in future sessions, we'll go through the writings of Sayyid ibn Tawus. Allama Majlisi was around 400 years ago. Sayyid ibn Tawus was even before that, around 700 or 800 years ago. Then we'll speak on more contemporary scholars and their classifications of those who fast, or their classifications in relation to Riya and Ikhlas, two terms which as we progress will become more and more evident, inshallah, what we mean by them and why there are different degrees pertaining to them. Allama writes, فَسِنْفٌ دَخَلُوا فِي السَّوْمِ بِمُجَرَّدِ تَرْكِ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ بِالنَّهَارِ وَمَا يَقْتَزِيهِ الْإِفْتَارِ فِي ظَاهِرِ الْأَخْبَارِ. There are those, there's a group who they enter fasting merely and solely for the abandoning of eating and drinking and the abandonment of those things which nullify the fast on a par with the Sharia, the 8 or 9 nullifying causes to fasting, which are outlined in the treatises of the religious authorities and which can be seen in the traditions, and the fuqaha, the jurisprudents, have extrapolated those 8 or 9 nullifying causes of fasting on a par with the Sharia from traditions of Ahlul Bayt. And these people, all that matters to them when they enter, and the operative word being all that matters for them when it comes to fasting is abandoning those 8 or 9 jurisprudential prohibitions. They refrain from them because it's prohibited, such as eating and drinking. However, in this first group, وَمَا صَامَتْ جَارِحَةٌ مِنْ جَوَارِهِ أَنْ سُوءِ آدَابِهِمْ وَفَضَائِهِهِمْ. However, none of their limbs have fasted, and none of their limbs have avoided the vicious etiquettes or the actions which the limbs do, which can be a source of disgrace. Yes, they abided by the Sharia and they refrained from those 8 or 9 nullifying actions. But when it comes to actions of their limbs outside the jurisdiction of the Sharia, because within the jurisdiction of the Sharia, there are only those 8 or 9 things nullify your fiqhi, outer, external, zahiri fasting. But outside this jurisdiction, there are actions of the limbs which, if you commit, you don't compromise your fasting, that fasting which pertains to the Sharia, but you're compromising the spirit of fasting. The fasting will not elevate, will not benefit you in the hereafter. There are many actions of the limbs, of the tongue, of your hands, your feet, your eyes, and other body parts that are a source of disgrace. and they may be unethical, and they may even be viewed as forbidden according to the Sharia, even though it won't compromise your fiqhi fasting, your jurisprudential fasting, but the Sharia says these are haram. Or even outside the Sharia, the tariqah, the ethical dimensions of Islam says this action was unethical. The fact that you didn't forgive someone, even though it was their fault, the fact that you were jealous, even though you didn't disclose it, these things, you're not fasting. Your limbs aren't fasting here. But it's unethical, okay, but it doesn't compromise your fiqhi fasting, but that fasting is a bare minimum. You're not going to grow if you suffice with that much. With these people, مَا صَامَتْ جَارِهَةٌ مِنْ جَوَارِهِ. None of their limbs are fasting. And all they're doing is abandoning those 8 or 9 nullifying causes of the fiqhi fast, such as eating, drinking, satiating your sexual appetite, for example, and other things. فَهَاُولَاءِ, these people, يَكُونُ صَوْمُهُمْ عَلَى قَدْرِ هَذِهِ الْحَالِ صَوْمَ أَهْلِ الْإِهْمَالِ. These people, their fasting, based on their status quo, is the fasting of the people who are committing shortcomings. These people are reproached because they are falling short. Why are they falling short? Because they're sufficing with a bare minimum and the spirit of fasting is totally wasted. Then Allame continues and writes, وَسِنْفٌ دَخَلُوا فِي الصَّوْمِ. Now, there's a group that who enter fasting. وَحَفِذُوا بَعْضَ جَوَارِهِهِمْ مِنْ سُوءِ الْآدَابِ عَلَى مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ فَكَانُوا فِي ذَلِكَ النَّهَارِ مُتَرَدِّدِينَ بَيْنَ السَّوْمِ بِمَا حَفِذُوهُ وَالْإِفْطَارِ بِمَا ضَيَّعُوهُ. The next group, which is 1 degree higher than the previous group, and therefore they will benefit a bit more, are those who, in addition to the Sharia requirements of fasting, in addition to that, in relation to their limbs, they preserve some of their limbs from committing actions of vice, actions which go against ethical etiquette, but not all their limbs. They only succeed in preserving some of the limbs. These people are during the day, when they're fasting, they are bewildered and their souls are bewildered. Bewildered in the sense that they're in a state of hesitation or in a state of in between two different poles. What are those two different extremes? Is that in relation to their fasting, they're in between a bare minimum fasting, which is of no spiritual elevation and of no spiritual benefit, and between that fasting which is of maximum spiritual benefit. And the reason for that is, in relation to their limbs, they succeed. For example, they don't backbite or they don't hurt anyone with their tongue. However, with their hand, they may, for example, cause injury to someone else, and that is haram to do that. Or, for example, they may commit other vices pertaining to other limbs, but they're always in a state of 50-50. They're neither here nor there. It's one step ahead in relation to the previous group, and it's a sign that they're growing. I don't want to cause any pessimism. Maybe I myself, I'm in this group. Don't be pessimistic. But at least they're growing. However, there's a lot to do. they're always in a state of spiritual bewilderment in the negative sense, always hesitating. They're hesitant in relation to, what am I doing? I'm neither okay, I'm not suffering from the bare minimum, but also I'm wasting a lot because I'm lacking in relation to higher levels of spiritual perfection. Then Alome Majlisi continues, وَسِنْفٌ دَخَلُوا فِي السَّوْمِ بِزِيَادَةِ النَّوَافِلِ وَالدَّعَوَاتِ الَّتِي يَعْمَلُونَهَا بِمُقْتَدَى الْعَادَاتِ. There's one group who, in addition to committing themselves to the Sharia, and in addition to committing themselves to their limbs, they also succeed in relation to their limbs. In addition to the previous two classes of people, this group, they also, in addition to the previous actions mentioned, which they're succeeding in, they commit themselves to supererogatory nawafil prayers, and they commit themselves to supplications. But these mustahab prayers and supplications, they do out of habit. But still, it's a good state, because in addition to succeeding the previous two groups' actions, they're committing themselves to extra actions, but it's out of habit. Now, here, then Allama writes, وَهِيَ سَقِيمَةٌ. And this is a disease. What is a disease? These extra actions, the supererogatory prayers, like Salatul Layl, the 11 units, for example, that is recommended at night. Or the supplications that one does, these actions, these extra additional actions, he says this is a disease. Why? وَهِيَ سَغِيمَةٌ. The nawafil and the da'awat, the supplications. They're a disease, لِسُقْمِ niyat, as a result of bad intentions, as a result of ill intentions. Look, we're entering a higher realm now. First, it was only physical actions that were pertaining to the Sharia. Then we talked about actions of the Sharia, the Muharramat, and also actions deemed unethical by the Tariqah. They're not sins according to the Sharia, but they're deemed sins according to the Tariqah. You won't burn for them, but you're contaminating yourselves. When you commit to sins of the Sharia, of the Tariqah, you're contaminating your soul. If that contamination reaches a certain threshold, it'll make you susceptible to falling short, even in relation to the Sharia. And then you may, for example, not even fast, not even deem fasting important. You're so contaminated. These people, though, in the third group, they don't fail in this regard. And actually, they do extra actions, the supererogatory actions they commit themselves to. However, what we see is these very supererogatory actions, they are the illness. And the illness is because of their ill intentions. This is now a different domain opening up before us. That what are your intentions when you're fasting? This also has degrees. You may be part of group three, which is a very noble group, but you're still spiritually ill because you haven't mastered your intentions. You haven't tuned your intentions properly. And فَحَالُ أَعْمَالِهِمْ عَلَى قَدْرِ إِهْمَالِهِمْ. and the status of their actions is on a par with their shortcomings. So the more the shortcomings, the more ill they are. Why are they ill? Because of those ill intentions. In the realm of intentions, they are committing themselves to a lot of shortcomings. Now, in relation to intentions, we'll speak more about that in future sessions, inshallah. Then the fourth group was sinfun. دخلوا دار ضيافة الله جل جلاله في شهر الصيام. This group, they enter the abode, the guest house of Allah, majestic he be He, or glorified be Allah, in the month of Ramadan, in the month of fasting. They enter Allah's guest house. However, and they enter it in a good state. When you look at the context here, in what Allama Majlisi has written, when you look at the context of his material here, it shows that in this fourth group, they've mastered the previous three groups. Although maybe not the third group in its entirety, but they're entering the month of Ramadan as a guest of Allah, however. وَالْقُلُوبُ غَافِلَةٌ. Their hearts are oblivious. وَالْحِمَمُ مُتَكَاسِلَةٌ. Their endeavors are sluggish. وَالْجَوَارِهُ مُتَثَاقِلَةٌ. Their actions are heavy. They preserve their actions well, but it's a weight upon their shoulders. They're heavy in action. فَحَالُهُمْ. Their state, their spiritual status quo is like, now he's giving an analogy for these people. كَحَالِ مَنْ حَمَلَ حَدَايَا إِلَى مَلِكٍ لِيَعْرِضَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُوَ كَارِهٌ لِحَمْلِهَا إِلَيْهِ. It's like someone who's carrying presents for and to a king, to offer the king the presents. However, meanwhile, as he's doing this, he's reluctant in carrying the presents to the king. There's a state of reluctance he's suffering from. وَفِيهِ. In this, أُيُوبٌ. There are faults in this status quo. Faults within such a person who does actions in such a manner that تَمْنَعُ مِنْ قَبُولِهَا وَالْإِقْبَالِ عَلَيْهِ. There are faults in such a person, so much so that it prevents that person from being accepted from the king, or it prevents those presents being accepted by the king. وَالْإِقْبَالِ عَلَيْهِ. And it prevents the king from looking face to face towards that person who has brought the gifts. You imagine someone who wants to take some presents to a king, or to a head of a university, or even to one's uncle, one's father. And he's carrying it, but he's reluctant in carrying it to that person. Maybe it's because, for a number of reasons, that he said, well, I have to do it because he's the king, he's the head. I have to look good in front of him. But deep down, he's reluctant in offering the presents. And then there are problems here. There are faults with such a state of mind. You imagine now, this is just an analogy, but you imagine now with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He sees you sluggish in your endeavors in fasting. Okay, here fasting is like the presence in the analogy. The presence are kind of compared to fasting, where we are offering this to Allah, But Allah sees we are sluggish in our endeavors. Allah sees that we are heavy in action. It's as if this is a burden upon our shoulders. But we're reluctant in fasting deep down. Well, of course, Allah won't look at you. Well, of course, your actions won't be accepted by Him in a true, proper sense when He sees this state of mind that you have. Just like the king, for example, in this analogy. وَسِنْفٌ دَخَلُوا فِي السَّوْمِ. Now the fifth group who enter fasting. وَأَسْلَهُ مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْجَوَارِحِ. They refine themselves in matters pertaining to their limbs. That's a very good state.
وَلَكِنْ لَمْ يَحْفَظُ الْقَلْبِ مِنَ الْخَتَرَاتِ الشَّاغِرَةِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ.
However, they don't preserve their hearts from these mental interferences which occupy them and prevent them from being committed to righteous actions. Look, they preserve their limbs. They refine their limbs. Their limbs don't go and do wrong things. However, the problem is they haven't preserved their hearts. When they haven't preserved their hearts, from what? From certain interferences, for example, love of the dunya, love of a luxurious house, love of a luxurious job, a luxurious X, Y, or Z. This prevents these people in committing themselves to righteous actions. Not all actions are deemed righteous. They have to be based on one's state of the heart. Only actions which emanate from a state of the heart which is free from certain mental interferences which can ruin one's intentions, only then, when you're free from that, that which emanates from such a state of the heart, they are righteous actions. Not any action is deemed a righteous action. Someone may give charity. Giving charity is a physical action. This physical action, is it deemed righteous or not? We have to say that depends. You're a Muslim. Now you're a Muslim, there are other parameters here. We have to look into this. You have to look where? We have to look into your heart. How is your heart occupied? What is your heart occupied with? So, these people, they succeed with the limbs, which is a very good state and degree to reach. However, in relation to the heart's preoccupations, they fail. And therefore, it prevents them from committing righteous actions. فَهُمْ, now he wants to give an analogy of these people. كَعَامِلٍ دَخَلَ عَلَى سُلْطَانِهِ. He's like someone who enters the presence of a king.
وَقَدْ أَصْلَحَ رَأِيَّتَهُ بِلِسَانِهِ.
This someone who is entering the presence of the king, this person under him, he has a number of workers. He's a supervisor. He has a number of workers working under him. Let's call this person Mr. A. Mr. A is going to the presence of the king. Now, Mr. A, under him, has a number of workers. Mr. A has succeeded in refining those under him through his tongue. He tells the workers, you do this, you do that, and they listen. However, وَأَهْمَلَ مَا يَتَعَلَّغُ بِإِصْلَاحِ الشَّعْنِ.
However, Mr. A falls short when it comes to acting according to duty and when it comes to refining one's own self. Mr. A succeeds in relation to those under him, but he fails in relation to himself. He fails in relation to refining oneself. فَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ. And therefore, Mr. A will be questioned. Questioned by who? By the king, for example, in this analogy. It's comparing it to me and you. Me and you, we our limbs, they don't go, they don't act outside the proper etiquette, okay. But they're not righteous actions. Why not? Our hearts are contaminated with preoccupations. And therefore our actions aren't righteous. Then Allah says to us, look, you succeed in relation to your limbs, but why not in relation to your heart? Like in this analogy, Mr. A succeeds in relation to those under him, but he doesn't succeed in relation to himself and his own responsibilities. And therefore, فَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ. He'll be questioned by the king. The analogy continues. Questioned about what? مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ تَقْدِيمِ إِصْلَاحِ الرَّعِيَّةِ عَلَىٰ إِصْلَاحِ ذَاتِهِ. Why did you grant priority in refining those under you? Why did you give priority to that over refining yourself? Why did you do that? وَكَيْفَ أَخَّرَ مُقَدَّمًا وَقَدَّمَ مُؤَخَّرًا. Why did you postpone that which you had to do before, that which you had to do earlier, and why did you bring forwards that which you had to do later? You had to first build your soul, your heart, and then those righteous actions emanate from that. But actions without the purity of the heart, that would be faulted. You would be questioned. Now, yes, your fast will be accepted, but it won't be a spiritual fast. If you remember in the first session that Sawmul Qalb, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, the fasting of the heart, خَيْرٌ مِنْ سَوْمِ اللِّسَانِ. It's better than the fasting of the tongue or of limbs. The fasting of the heart is the most important. And that will enter all these details in time, inshallah. And so, وَخَاطَرَ مَعَ الْمُطَّلِعِ عَلَىٰ إِرَادَتِهِ. He's disclosing hypocrisy before one who is informed, who is aware of his inner will, the will of Mr. A. And he knows that Mr. A, he's committing hypocrisy here. He's refining those under him, but not himself. Another group was sinfun dakhalu fi siyam bi taharatil uqul wal qulub ala aqdamil muraqabati la allamil ghuyub hafidina mastahfadhahum iya fahaluhum halu abdin tasharrafa bi ridah mawla bi ridha mawla. The next group, he says, there are those who enter the month of fasting with pure intellects. Their intellects have been purified. Now, what does that mean? We haven't entered yet, but we'll speak about that over the next few days. They've purified their hearts and they're abiding by the degrees of muraqabah and self-scrutiny before the knower of the unseen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst preserving properly that which Allah wanted them to preserve. And they do all that. these people, their status, and this is maybe the best group of people, their status is the status of a slave who has found honor, who's found dignity for reaching one's master's satisfaction. Now, the final group, Allah writes, was sinful. Ma qana'u lillah. Jalla jalalu bihifdh al-uqul wal-qulub wal-jawarih and al-dhunub wal-uyub wal-qaba'ih. There are some people who are not contented with, who when they're fasting, these people, they fast for Allah and they're not contented with their preservation of their intellects, of their hearts, preserving their limbs from faults, from sins, from actions of disgrace. They don't suffice with this much. They're not contented with this much. Why? Hatta shagaluha bima waffaqahum lahu min amalin rajihin salih. The reason why they're not content, these people are succeeding, they're preserving themselves in the realm of the intellects, in the realm of the hearts, in the realm of the limbs, but they're not content with that. Why? So that they can occupy their hearts with that which Allah has assigned success to them, namely the righteous actions. Meaning that if these people suffice with this station and become contented with such a degree, there may arise spiritual problems. There may arise problems of self-conceitedness, that's enough for me. They don't want that, so that they can continuously occupy their hearts with that which Allah has granted divine success to them. And that is the righteous actions. They want to continue with this state. And these people, فَهَاُولَا أَصْحَابُ التَّجَارَةِ الْمُرْبِحَةِ وَالْمَطَالِبِ الْمُنْجِحَةِ. These people are companions of trade, but a truly profiteering trade, because it's divine in origin. Something which has been approved by Allah, wholly approved by Allah. And these people are those who have committed themselves to life-saving actions as a result. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ